And you may be seated. It is indeed good to see all of you here today. Good to see Ron and Bev Anello, our very own Bev. All right. And, of course, our brother and sister Tanner and brother and sister Pagel and Kyle and Nene. Is Nene here in the auditorium? Oh, and Kids Rages. Well, I wanted to tell something, but I was teaching at the Iowa camp. And there was a couple that we had a little break there, and a couple came up to me. And I never had anything like this to happen to me. And they just stood there. And they said, we got married since camp last year. I taught the year before. They looked at me and said, bet you can't guess what we did on our honeymoon. I don't have the slightest idea. That's what they said. And so they didn't tell me. They just proceeded for me to give them an answer. Well, what am I supposed to say? And so they said, well, you're going to be real happy, Brother Grant. They pulled out this whole set of tapes that they got from the last year. And they said, we spent our honeymoon listening, re-listening to your messages last year. I think they deserve a plaque when they get to heaven. Oh, my. Well, praise God. Isn't God good? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father's Day is always a special day. Mother's Day is a special day. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. That all of your days may be blessed. And that you would have long life. Now, I don't know how honorable I was of my father, of my mother. I'd like to say that they had very little trouble out of me. My mother had more trouble out of me than my dad, because my dad wasn't living for God at that time, so he didn't really care. He cared, but a lot of the things that my mother would stay on to me about. So I wasn't Holy Ghost filled, but she wanted me to live a life as if I was on fire for Jesus. Well, I wasn't on fire for Jesus, and I didn't want to live that kind of life, you know. But she expected it. So as a result, her biggest dilemma in life was trying to figure out ways in which she could trap me into becoming a Christian. Yeah. My dad and I gave our heart to the Lord at the same time, and our church in Henderson, my dad was the first person that was baptized in our new baptismal tank, and I was the second person. So we started our walk with God at the same time. But I got to tell you, you know, I've always admired him, respected him. Even though he wasn't living for God, he never interfered with my mother trying to raise us the right way. And when my wife and I, when I proposed to my wife, my mother says, no, you're not going to marry her, because she's of a different faith. And my dad, he honored my mother's request. So finally, after a whole lot of talking and conferring, my dad finally says, okay, I will approve of this. See, he tried to tell me that I was of a different faith, and I was trying to tell him that I wasn't of any faith. And he said, oh, yes, you are. I said, so you and I both are of the Pentecostal faith. Well, naturally, my dad is not going to say, yes, we are, because he didn't claim to be. So, but at any rate, I told him that. And finally, he says, you know, I will honor this, and I'll talk with Mom. And so my dad talked with my mom, and my wife and I got married in 1959, and this coming November will be 55 years for us. I would also like to tell you that yesterday was Sister Grant's 71st birthday. Okay. I don't know where she is, but she's around here someplace. Thank you. Doesn't she look young? Telling you, she sure does. That's it. Give her a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father's Day, 2014. This has been just quite a weekend. Full moon, Friday the 13th. Sister Grant's birthday yesterday and Father's Day today. Now you may say, why is that quite? Well, I didn't stay up howling at the moon on Wednesday night. Just all these things stacked up. And then, of course, on Sister Grant's birthday, they always fly the flag. It's Flag Day. June 14th. The book of Malachi closes, the Old Testament closes, with a very, very important message. Now, this is speaking of Elijah's going to come, the prophet, and that's speaking of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet like unto Elijah, or Elijah like unto John the Baptist. In Malachi 4, verse 6, the Bible says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So basically, the Old Testament closes with that verse. And God does not speak to the human race for 400 years. And it appears to me that what God has his mind on when he closes the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is that there must be a revival in the family. And the only way that it's going to occur is for the fathers to initiate this revival by turning their hearts to their children. And in turn, then, the children will turn their hearts to the fathers. We also find in Luke, the first chapter, verse 13, that this is repeated. It speaks of the ministry of John the Baptist. So in Luke 1:13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. This is the father of John the Baptist. For thy prayers is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. I shall call his name John. Isn't that a beautiful name? I'm telling you. Somebody made a joke out of that the other day. He said, we have more Johns in our church. And I said, oh, yeah. I thought they were going to say John Repka and John Grant and John Seidel. They said, we got one in the hallway out here. How did they ever make such an association? with such a great name. I don't know. Meanwhile, back on the ranch. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that was the work of John the Baptist. He was going to do something in the family that's going to be spectacular. I'm so glad that we have a day called Father's Day. And I especially like to go into homes in which the fathers are paying attention to the children, loving the children. We just had a little get-together at our house last night, celebrate Sister Grant's birthday and then Father's Day. But the ones that got the attention was Ava and Cole. Ava and Cole, they just, I don't know, they just have a way of getting into your heart. Of course, grandfather and grandmother, Roy and Lois Grant were there, and then, of course, Sister Grant and myself, and then Marvin was there, and he was putting up hay, but that little Cole loves his dad so much. It's just unbelievable. Every time he gets on a four-wheeler, he's got to be on there with him. Every time he gets on the tractor, he's got to be on there with him. So he's always up there. And it's just amazing to see a little tiny body and head behind his dad holding on to him. Of course, he can't reach around him. But he just clamped on to him, just holding like this. And he'll come by, and he's got the biggest smile, and I'll wave at him, but he won't wave. But the other day, I said, "Hey, Cole, wave at Papa." He didn't do that. He threw me a kiss. Oh, man. It's just so great. And then to come here to the house of God and see all of you precious people. Now, the Lord said if there's not a revival in the families, the earth will be cursed. And what we're seeing in our world, let me just back up a little bit. I just recently, this week, talked with some people that had knowledge of what's happening in our public schools. I can't believe what some of these parents are telling me. I just can't believe what they're telling. Just unbelievable. Now, what I want to do today, I want to speak on the subject, seven skills needed to be an effective spiritual father. These are not difficult. And as I go down through these, some of you are going to look at them and say, "Oh, my." I'll tell you one thing. I made a lot of mistakes raising my kids, a lot of them. And I can certainly relate to this idea of fishing and everything. I used to take the boys fishing on Memorial Day and every holiday we could. And I didn't do anything but untangle lines. And Steve was a little bit too young to throw the line out, so I'd throw it out for him, and then Roy would cross over his line and get all tangled up, and John would go into a tree, and so we'd come back home, and we'd catch in bullheads, and they wanted to take every bullhead home, and they wanted to fry these little bullheads. Can you, you realize how difficult it is to skin an eight-inch bullhead? And then you got to fry it, and they want, man, they're just all into it. So I've been down that path, and I got to tell you, there have been times in which I was so upset at them. Because you tell them, now wait a minute, don't throw this until Dad gets this other one untangled. And all of a sudden, bloop, right in there. How come you throw this? Couldn't wait. Just couldn't wait. How come you couldn't wait? Just, they could just hear that bullhead just calling them. We gotta get that bullhead. And the first skill that is needed, and these are probably not in the right order, but nevertheless, I have seven of them. You must be in a continual state of gratefulness. You know, thankful. Those little guys. Roy used to play so hard that he would cry because his legs ached. Just ached. Get him ready to go to church. And when Roy was young, real young, I don't know where he got this. He liked to get down in the floor. Now, that's before we had carpet in the cars. He'd get down in the floor on a rubber mat, and he would lick the dirt off of So we'd get him to church, and he'd have dirt all over his face. Roy, what is wrong, son? Oh. We went someplace to preach, and I was trying to impress these people. They didn't have a pastor, and I was there as an evangelist, and my son John, he always in Bible school. You know, I was attending Texas Bible College. He wanted to be a preacher. You know, always. What are you going to do when you grow up? A preacher. Always a preacher. You know. Well, he was out in the yard playing, so these people said something. I said, well, I was going to impress them. John, we were on the front porch of the church. Come here, John. So he ran up there, and the first thing he said was, I didn't do it. I said, no, wait. You didn't do what? He says, Roy did it. I said, no, son. I want you to tell these people what you want to be when you grow up. Boy, he squared his little shoulders like this and stood up. He says, a baseball player. I said, son, I thought you wanted to be a preacher. He said, change my mind. I want to be a baseball player. Boy. You know, but I'm sure when I was young, in fact, my mother and dad used to tell things that I did. And just embarrassing things. My sister, Sister Rutherford, most of you know her. She lives down in Rockford. She married to Brother Rutherford, who's one of our ministers. She took me to school. She was in the first grade. So I go to school. My mother gives me a quarter for lunch. At that time, you could buy more than what you needed for a quarter, especially a little guy my size. But I asked someone how much an ice cream cone cost. I said, a nickel. So I said, how many ice cream cones can you get for a quarter? Five. So here my sister, she's ahead of me, and I'm following her, and I'm supposed to get what she gets. And I get down there, and they had this little old tray they handed me with five ice cream cones on it. She said, five? Where did you? I said, I had a quarter. She said, I'm not going to sit with you. Here, I'm a little old kid, you know. I start crying. Won't sit with me. I got five ice cream cones. Anybody likes to sit with me, you know. So all of us, we should understand you know, how grateful we should be for our parents for putting up with us, and also for our children. I mean, we embarrassed our parents, and our children embarrass us. That's just part of being a human being. One thing that I do every day of my life, I ask God, keep your hand upon me and help me to continue to be grateful. I'm thankful for my dad, thankful for my mom. Both of them have gone on to be with the Lord. I'm thankful for my grandparents, my dad's folks I never knew. They died before I was born. But my grandfather, my grandmother, I'm really thankful for those people. Now, there were times growing up in which I didn't feel that way, especially when you get to be a teenager. You know, teenagers know everything. If you haven't figured it out, the reason why you can't tell teenagers anything, how can you tell a person who knows everything, how can you tell them anything? They already know it. And some of you who don't have teachable spirits, if you don't have a teachable spirit, when I preach, I don't expect you to get it because you already know it. Just kidding. But even today, I thank the Lord for my mom and my dad and my grandmother and my grandfather. See? And for these little kids, you know, they always, their mom and dad, they're respectful of us. We live in the same home with Marvin and Lana, and we have our own quarters. There's a door going in. Of course, we have an outside entrance also. But they won't let them just come in any time. But every now and then, especially a little cold, the door will open. I'll be praying or sitting at the computer, and I hear the door. And then little Hoover, that's our dog, Hoover, named after the vacuum cleaners, you know. He comes in, little Hoover comes in, and then I look and I see eyes peep around the door. Now, I'm not wanting them to come in that early because I've got things to do. And once they come in, that's the end of it. But still, you just love them so much, you just, well, just come on in. Year before last, and Ava was only three then, Sister Grant gets up and she hears something. She goes and looks in the spare bedroom, and Ava, it was dark. Ava was sitting in the bed waiting for daylight. And she was already up. She wanted Grandma to get up. Grandma plays with those kids just like she's a kid. The other day, Sister Grant was cooking, and Ava came over, and she'd been outside. And when she wants something, she lowers her shoulders like this. She's going to be humble. Then she walks in. I'm sitting in a recliner. She says, "Papa, can I ask you something?" And I said, "Yes." She said, when Grandma finishes cooking, can she come out and play? You know. I mean, those, and even Marvin and Lana. In the middle of the night, Sister Grant hears something. Now, Sister Grant always hears things. Always. And usually I had to go check it out. Well, she heard something in the kitchen. Pitch dark. She gets up and she looks around. Here is this man in our kitchen, in the pantry. And she was going to say, "John," but he turned and there was a light in there and she saw. She went up behind him. It was Marvin. And she said, Marvin, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for a gummy bear. Now, how can you not be thankful for a family? How can you not be thankful? Looking for a gummy bear. So you must be in a continual state of gratefulness. You must. Number two, you must have a genuine spirit of humility. A genuine spirit of humility. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 8. I don't think I gave these scriptures to the overhead person, but Philippians 2, verse 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You have to, in order to be humble, all you have to do is think about how fallible you are, how subject to wrongdoing you are, to some of the big mistakes that you've made. You know, we're just weak human beings. We sure need each other, don't we? We sure do. And we need to encourage each other and pick each other up. But let us not forget, you know, that our past failures remind us that there is no reason for pride. Well, by the time you think you're bragging on yourself, whoopee, something happens. And you know, you must admit when you're wrong. Some people will never admit when they're wrong. We had a good friend, and she told my wife, she said, my husband, who was near retirement at the time, in all the years in which I've known him, I've never heard him say one time, I'm sorry. He just won't do it. He just will not do it. I can't feature that. Because we always taught our children to say I'm sorry when they're wrong, and we've always admitted when we feel that we're wrong. Of course, you know, sometimes we didn't feel we were, and probably we were. So, and you must emphasize to your wife and children that you need them, because dad makes mistakes. I said, Dad makes mistakes. I sure need you. I need you, children. I need you. Oh, children need to hear their parents, or especially their father, say, I'm sorry. And the father needs to let them know that, hey, we're a team. God brought us together. And I'm not above apologizing. I've made a lot of mistakes. The third thing is, you must learn to control your tongue and emotions. Oh. Men have a problem with this. Blow off the handle. See, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down the strongholds of Satan. I used to think that there were no movies unless they were Westerns. When I was growing up, you know. But, you know, the thing about it that caught my attention then, and still I think of it every now and then, the guys that always won were the guys that kept their composure. You look at Clint Eastwood. You know, just kept his composure. John Wayne kept his composure. We could go on with, if you want to lose a battle in a hurry, you just lose your composure. The old saying, you know, he who slings mud always loses ground. Isn't that the way it is? But you keep your composure. See, the father does not really have the right to be up and down emotionally. I've told fathers this. I've told some of you and asked me about some of my health problems. I said, I don't have the right to be up and down. You know, if I get down, I've got to get up quickly, as quickly as possible. See, I don't have the luxury of wallowing in depression or complaining about how bad things are. I've heard parents, and especially the men, nobody around here listens to me. You know, there's probably a reason. And of course, this goes also to the mothers. How many times have you heard a mother say, "Look, I've told you 10 times, and I'm not telling you again." See? But she just keeps on saying it, and after a while, the whole household has just been out of shape. You see, the children, or maybe I should say, all the members of the family want to see, especially Dad, being consistent emotionally. He cannot become discouraged. And if they see this up and down discouragement, it will definitely affect them in the long run. Harsh words and thoughtfulness cut deeply into the heart of family members, and they do not easily heal. So did I hear you tell your child that you hated him? Well, I did at the moment. Now, that's a good way to make a child behave, isn't it? Did I hear you say that you wish he'd never been born? Well, you had more to do with that than he did. Why are you saying that? See? And these statements, they fester like cancer. Kids grow up teenagers, and they don't respect their parents. Number four, and I've got to hurry here. I think that fathers must have good manners. You know, sometimes fathers want to be macho. Almost said mucho. Macho. Sometimes I get mixed up. We had a missionary to Guatemala, and I introduced him as a missionary to guacamole. But there must be evidence of discipline in the home. Table manners. Oh, wow, table manners, man. When I grew up, first thing you do when you're called for supper, you go wash your hands, wash your face, and comb your hair. Nobody wears a cap in the dining room. Pull it off. Now, I'm not saying some of these things that I'm suggesting are the proper thing to do, but I am saying that if there's no discipline, then there can't be any manners. And this is when people lose respect for each other. So, no cap or anything. Nobody eats food until we pray. And doing so then, we show respect to Mom, who cooked and labored so hard to get this last meal. And then while we're eating, we thank her. Mom, these potatoes are just out of this world. Oh. You may say, well, what if I didn't like them? I remember Brother Yance one time said a lady in the congregation used to make him a pie almost every week. And she just kept making it. And honestly, it was the worst pie ever. Oh, wow. What do you tell her? He says, I never tell her it's good. I always look at her and say, oh, my, you should not have done this. Good manners. And the father's manners demonstrate to the outside world what he thinks about his wife and his children. You guys just eat like pigs. Well, could I tell you something? One general rule of leadership is this, that you never complain about something you allow. Because if you start complaining and you keep allowing it, then you have just given up your role as the leader and let somebody else have it. So everybody will either develop a bad attitude or a good attitude toward each other, and that will be determined by the manners that they have. Treat every person as if they are very important. Okay, number five, accept each person where he or she is. You know, you may have a child that's flunked eighth grade math, and maybe one that's in the seventh grade made an A+. You know. But each child has his own or her own rate of development. Always be patient with each child. Never compare another family member with another person in that family. Don't do that. They're all made in the image and the likeness of God. Number six, recognize individual worth and potential. Work with each child. Recognize the strong points as well as the weak points. Be committed to the success of each child. All family members must be reassured that Dad loves them. And the last one, number seven, you must earn the respect of all family members. Now, Jesus gave us the scripture that is the success formula for this. Matthew 7:12. I love this scripture. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, you treat everyone just like you'd like to be treated. You treat everyone just like you'd like to be treated. And quite often, you know, I think about doing something, I think, is this the way I would want someone to treat me? So you must earn the respect of all family members. Here's how you get respect. And I take this from John Maxwell. He said, here's how you learn respect. It's like you have empty pockets. You have empty pockets. Okay. And your friend or your loved one has a pocket full of change. And every time you tell them that you're going to do something and you do it, they take change out of their pocket and put it in yours. And if you keep following through, after a while, you've got two pockets full of change. Now, if all of a sudden you turn the tables and you tell them you're going to do something, you don't. You promise them you don't. Then you got to take the change out and put it in somebody else's pocket. Now, you can only do this so long. After a while, you have empty pockets. That simply means no respect. But you should go around with a pocket full of change all the time. Why? Because everything I said I was going to do, I did. Everything I said I was going to do, I did. So we earn the respect of all family members. Remember this, that relationships are fragile, and you cannot afford to destroy one person because you may never get that person back. I'd like for all of our fathers to stand if they would, and I'd like for all of our music team to come. And I'd like for all of our fathers to just step out and come right down to the front if you would. Again, we just certainly wish all of you a happy Father's Day. Seven skills needed to be an effective spiritual father. Now, all of you have failed. I probably mentioned some things today that you have just really failed in. But the thing about it is, we're not judged on things that we have done, that we've asked God to forgive us and this. God just puts it under the blood and keeps going. Isn't that great? Now we'd like for the remaining congregation to stand. Just step forward just a little bit if you would. And we want the family members to come. Now you may not be able to get right directly behind your father. But we want to pray for our fathers. This is a real tough age that we're living in. A lot of crazy things happening in our world today. A lot of crazy things. Bow your heads with me. Now, all of you reach out to the person in front of you until you reach down to where our fathers are. Let's touch them. God, I pray right now. As Malachi said, and also it stated of John the Baptist, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers toward the children and the hearts of the children toward the fathers. I pray today for a strong, strong, strong relationship between husband and wife and between parents and children. My Savior, stretch forth your hand, O God, I pray. Move upon these men. Help them to be strong spiritual leaders. Strong spiritual leaders. Concerned always about the spiritual condition of their children, God. My Shakata Rababatika Mato Sataka Bahatai. I pray right now, God, move upon them. Grant to them a great day. Grant to them a great day, God. May we all rejoice in our hearts today for all the good and the wonderful things, Lord, that you've done. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for these fathers, God. We thank you, God, for these fathers. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. praise the name of the Lord. As our praise singers sing, you fathers turn around and start shaking each other's hands. Then the rest of you family members, make yourself available by coming in and shaking these men's hands.